Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again for Roger for coming in. Always good to talk to Roger. Always brings good information forward. And second hour here, I have Mr. Ron Stevens back with me, and you guys have heard Ron many times over the years. He's one of my kind of semi-regulars on the show here, and always like what he has to say. Ron, how you doing, bud, and welcome back to the show.
Doing good. Doing good.
Yeah, I hear you're having a little bit of a storm there right now in Kincardine, Ontario.
Well, it's not, they were saying it was going to be 115K, but nowhere near that. But we can't trust our hydro system or our internet system. Everything's running right now, so we're good.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And if you go blank during the course of the show, we'll know why.
Yeah.
And I won't send a Gestapo looking for you. But yeah, really, what's your pet peeve today? Let's talk about these trade zones you wanted to talk about, Ron. Let's explain that to people a little bit. You're up on it a little bit more than I am, but I glanced at it. My problem right now, Ron, honestly, I've got 500 or 600, it seems like, links every day coming in from all kinds of different people. They all want you to look at it. And it's like you need 36 hours in a 24-hour day just to look at stuff that's going on.
Oh, I know. I'm getting
overloaded, buddy. I really am.
I get sent so much stuff.
People get mad when you don't respond to them. They go, well, if you look at the link, you know, I've got 50 other links that come in front of me.
Most of what I get sent isn't important.
Well, it is, but you can only look at so much in the hours.
Most of it's not important. It's just reaction stuff. You know, people reacting to things. That's not what we need to do. We need to get to the solution. We got to do it soon. But the foreign trade zones, there's 14 of them. And like I said just before the show, I think Prince George has been labeled as a foreign free zone now. Could be wrong on that one. But we've got 14 of them. The first one was in 208, which was Centerport, Winnipeg. And that's all to do with the free trade zone between Mexico, the States, and Canada. And it also has to do with the rewilding project because they want to run between certain cities, but they don't want to go too far out from there. So the idea is they're going to starve out the rural areas and shove the people into the cities. Mm-hmm. And then Regina became a foreign trade zone in 2015.
And when what's the purpose of these foreign trade zones exactly?
Well, the magic word is foreign, which means it's not part of our nation. And the government has a foreign trade zone site. And on that site, they say they can't definitively give a definition for foreign free trade because they don't want to tell you what they're up to. But it's foreign. It means it's not part of our nation, which goes to the city states, because for them to have world government, they have to kill the nation state. And the whole plan of that was to use city states. But this foreign trade stuff, I listened to a thing on CBC today regarding the migration of people from Hong Kong into Canada. Mm-hmm. And because the Hong Kong people, I guess a bunch of the legislatures walked out and the only ones left are the Chinese. And but this is all part and parcel of the play, right? You know, people go, oh, well, look what they did in Hong Kong. No, this is part of the game. Okay. And so now they want to bring in a whole slew of people from Hong Kong who make $4 and something an hour, which is the whole point. They want cheap labor for the big businesses. And I saw another article today from Ireland where they want to put in a city, a Hong Kong city, between two towns in Ireland. And what happens with this foreign stuff, like in Regina, which was put in 2015, even though it's inside the municipality of Regina, it's foreign and it's not bound by the rules and regulations of the municipality. So the idea is we have the resources and the big companies want to make the money. And so what they want to do is bring in really cheap labor, of which none of us are going to work for. And that's all part and parcel. Well, that's tied to the – that's also tied to the basic income, right?
Exactly.
So
– they're all going to be here under – they're all coming in under foreign workers programs. And, you know, anybody that's coming in under that program isn't going to be leaving the country wrong. So, right. Boy, if you take a look at the numbers of people that are actually coming into Canada right now under the student programs, these foreign work programs between illegal immigration and regular immigration, we're up around 1 million people a year coming into Canada. We can't sustain that. You know that, Ron. Go ahead.
They want to raise the population of Canada to 100 million, which basically eradicates us.
It does. Puts us right out of the picture, doesn't it?
Yeah. And and we have to stop it. But it's absolutely ridiculous that what's going on here. I mean, we're being attacked from both the inside and the outside, and nobody's on the side of the people, because the government of all levels is playing the game with the internationalists. And so what the government's saying to the people is, we don't give a damn about you. Period.
Well, it's got to that point, Ron. It really has in this country. We don't have a say in anything going on here now.
We are
under a dictatorship of Jagmeet Singh and Justin Trudeau and the Bloc leader and a few Green Party representatives. They're all the exact same snake. Period.
Well, it really doesn't matter.
Throw the conservatives in there too.
Well, when Harper was the prime minister in 2008, I believe. Oh, yeah, it would have been when the center port in Winnipeg was put in, and he may have been. I don't know who was it. Was 2015. Harper left in September, I think, or a little after September.
Yeah,
just before the election.
Bring it to her. Yeah.
So he may have been involved in Regina as well. So this idea of you know, one party's better than the other party is a complete crock of nonsense. Both parties are doing the bidding of the internationalists, and the internationalists want our resources, and they want cheap labor. And so they've set this up. So, there's no taxes to be paid. These big companies don't have to pay the taxes. They don't have to do anything because they're outside of the country. And they don't have to abide by our rules and regulations. And that's completely wrong. It's like bringing in a bunch of Trojan horses.
But it creates the agenda, doesn't it, Ron?
It's
exactly what you're doing. I mean, we talk about 1 million people a year coming into Canada. 15 years from now, the white Caucasian male will be a minority. We'll be like 10%, 15% of the population if it goes like this for another 15, 20 years. Well, what are you doing, man? You're displacing, you're destroying the culture of that country, and you're displacing us. And that's all part of the agenda. And you're right, they want cheap labor. And they're bringing it in by the boatload. One thing I got to talk to you about, Ron, and when I first heard about this, I got to find out about it. I'm going to get some information on this week. But, I've been the bug was put in my ear about Chinese troops on the north coast of British Columbia here. And I heard it from a couple people, and then a couple other people were talking about it. So I got in touch with a family member who's a longshoreman in Prince Rupert. And he says it's being talked about all over the docks right now, that there's something going on out there. And it's actually my son, Ron. And he's going to look into it, and there's some other people that are going to look into it. But there's too many people talking about it for just to be a rumor. I don't think it's a rumor. I think there's actually something going on. So it's kind of interesting. I'll look into it, and I'll let you know. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's anything that's going on in this country right now. And I'm not trying to start a rumor or anything. It's just that I'm hearing it from a lot of people that are in the Prince Rupert area, that are front lines. So I've given it a little bit of looking into.
But this all, it all leads back to the political, right? They're the ones that nobody can come into the country unless they're allowed in. And
well, of course, this is being distorted by the government. They know exactly what's going on, of course. Go ahead.
Right. So the government is waging war against the people, which is unlawful, and it's against the law to cause harm, which they're causing to everybody in this country. And I think it's about time that we put together a group of people and gather the people up and sue them.
Well, that's happening. You know, there's quite a few people that are actually doing that right now, Ron. So that is happening. Seems like that's the only recourse we got right now is through the court system, even though it's corrupt to the core.
Well, the court is totally corrupt.
Of course.
But
we still have laws that we can call them out on. That's the bottom line, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have to get called out, and we got to push back. And, I'm thinking that the best place we can sue them is at the local communities. If we can get everybody in the communities to sue their council and administration, because they have no authority whatsoever, no authority to be implementing these agendas into our communities without our knowledge or consent. The job of the municipal council and administration is to look after the municipality, make sure the roads are in good shape and the water's in good shape and the sewers are working.
Mm-hmm.
They have absolutely no right to be implementing globalist agendas into our community. That's not their job. And, I've been talking to a couple of people about it, and it seems to make sense to people, because we have a lot more power and a lot more pushback at the local level than at the federal level or the provincial level. A lot more pushback.
Because, well, the young people seem to be open to information now, Ron. I've noticed that a lot, and I know you've noticed that a lot lately, that they're kind of yearning for information because they're not getting it from mainstream. Actually, all they're hearing is one narrative, and that alone, the fact that we're only hearing one narrative out of mainstream, should have people asking questions, that all other narrative is being quashed by our so-called health officials. Boy, if people can't see what's going on here, Ron, they've got their eyes closed. What scares me now the most is all these people that are walking around with masks on their face conforming to these laws. Next thing they're going to bring forward, of course, is the mandatory vaccine. AstraZeneca came out and announced that they've got a vaccine that's 90% effective, Ron. You know, that's absolutely impossible on a coronavirus to produce a vaccine that's 90% effective, but it's being propped up by the media and blah, blah, wow, blah, 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 blah. And now that's going to get rammed down our throat, buddy. That's coming next.
Well, all the Pfizer
will be the first to roll up their arms.
Go Pfizer, ahead. Who is the vaccine company that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is a partner of the World Economic Forum, of which Bill Gates is a partner of the World Economic Forum.
Yes.
They have no authority over us whatsoever. They're private people. They're not a government. Okay?
Well,
they do not have the authority to force anybody to do anything. And well, nor does the government have any authority to force anyone to do anything.
You know that that's coming down the tubes, that they're going to say that we all going to have to get a vaccine here. Folks are the better of the good, you know.
Well, somebody comes to my house like that, they'll be walking down the sidewalk with a needle stuck in their forehead.
There's a lot of Canadians that are going to absolutely draw the line at that, but unfortunately, Ron, there's a lot that are going to go along with the narrative, just like they're going along with this mask mandate.
And yeah, but the whole, you know, and I know that the whole COVID thing is just a distraction. They've got everybody distracted with this COVID thing while they're just marching through here and moving their agendas forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
COVID's a major part of the agenda, but it's also a major distraction. It's a fear mechanism. It's a fear virus, at least.
Yeah, it is a distraction. But the students I talk to, they're 100% certain that this COVID-19 is a crock of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
They're also 100% sure that this global warming thing is a complete crock of nonsense. They're not biting anymore. They're not accepting it. They used to accept it 10 years ago. But or even 5 years ago, but I was absolutely astounded by the students I've been talking to lately. You know, I was talking to a guy this morning. Well, I went to get a coffee this morning, and for my show, there was a guy actually standing at the coffee pot in the store with no mask on. And I says, you don't wear a mask. Congratulations. He says, I'm not wearing a mask. I said, neither am I. and we had a chat. He was probably in his late 30s. And, we had a chat about the teachers and we had a chat about the students and that. And we had a chat that, you know, propaganda is no different than any other product. It has a shelf life. And, he says, yeah, I'm noticing this now that the young people ain't biting this anymore. And, we have a duty to those young people. They're really getting ticked off, but they really can't do anything because they're like 15, 16, 17 years old. There's not really a whole hell of a lot they can do. Mm. But they are at least woke up now. And that's a hell of a sign. That's beautiful.
Encouraging your stories like that, Ron, but I've experienced the same thing myself with young people. They're very, very open. I sat down, had conversation with a guy that worked at Tim Hortons that's got to wear a mask all day at his job. A young guy the other day, I sat 15 minutes with him, and I kind of just hit him with simple facts and, you know, stuff that you're never going to hear on mainstream. And I just sent him to do some research and go look into this stuff yourself. Don't believe anything I'm saying. Just go take a look at it yourself. And they are. They're really, really open to it.
Yeah.
Steve wants to say something here, too, Ron, for a sec. He's been messing with me here. He'd like to say something. So, Steve, you wanted to add something to this conversation, and I'll let Ron get back to what he's saying.
Yes, I did, Barry.
Go right ahead. The talking stick is yours.
I've been producing you, I don't know, somewhere right around 3 years, you know, within a few weeks or a month or whatever it's been. I told you from the beginning, and I've said it quite a few times on air, what Ron just said maybe 3 or 4 minutes ago. They have zero authority over us, zero power over us. It's all about contracting. I'm not looking to criticize you on your own show, but I think you need to, you have the sheep mentality. I keep trying to tell you this stuff, and Ron keeps telling you this stuff, and your response is, yeah, but. When I hear you say, yeah, but, that means to me it's, we just need to vote harder next time. I'll let you get back. Like I said, I'm not looking to criticize you on your own show, but I think you just need to look into and have a different mindset.
Okay, I'll leave.
Oh, he did leave.
What?
He left.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, why'd he do that?
I don't know.
That's weird. You have to be able to take a little criticism.
I'm going to send him a message. What's going on here?
Yeah, get him back on. Well, it says he's on.
Yeah, he is on. No. He's off. He's not in this call. Oh, it's his last show, he just said.
What?
He just said it's his last show.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't have a clue. He's...
If you got to be able to take a little criticism. I mean, this is a learning process for most people.
And, was my criticism wrong? You
know, well, we've had conversations, Barry and I, he says, "Oh, I'm having so-and-so on the show." I said, "Well, I want nothing to do with that person." None of those people ever come on my show. There's too much controlled opposition out there.
Yeah.
And there's too many people who are still stuck in this left-right nonsense. And that's not the answer. The answer is we got to get down to the core and deal with it. But I can't believe he left. I'll have to get a hold of him later because I've been trying to bring Barry.
I know you over. Have. I know you have.
And
so have I.
Because I do believe that he has the capacity to do good. I do believe that. But he's been caught up in this group of people who are not really legitimate. Because I like Barry. Make no mistake, I like Barry.
I do too.
And I do believe he has the strength in him to do good, but he's tangled up with this other nonsense, which is not good. I was surprised. I was going to send you that thing about the foreign trade zones, which you got them all through the United States too. I was going to look some of them up and send them down to you because it boils right back down to the United Nations is sitting on American soil, but it's not sitting on American soil.
Yeah, yeah.
It was designated as international soil. Well, how can you have international soil on your soil? It doesn't make any sense.
All right, Barry, you're back in. I told you I wasn't looking to criticize you. I've been trying to tell you the truth for 3 years, and so is. And Ron has been too, as long as I've been producing you.
We got Barry back?
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, I'm here. So I'm just stupid then, I guess, hey, Steve?
I didn't say anything about stupid. Not one thing.
That's what I'm getting. I can't get what you're telling me. Is that I just can't get it?
I didn't.
Anyways,
I'm glad you're back because, as I was telling Steve, I have a lot of respect for you, and I do believe you have the strength in you to do what's necessary. We just gotta get down to solution time,
I've been trying to tell you for 3 years, and I think Ron's been doing it too. These people are illegitimate, and they have no authority whatsoever. They are liars. They lie at every single degree of a 360 degree of the political spectrum, and they will continue to lie. That's their job. They have to lie. They cannot get voted in telling the truth. Neither side of the American political system nor the Canadian political system. They have to lie.
Mm-hmm. They've all sold their souls, and they're working against the people, and that only leaves us. Voting out Trudeau and voting in O'Toole or whatever his name is just another distraction. And that's what they keep doing. They switch this out so people get angry at this group. So they vote this group in, and that settles down the anger group. And they just keep moving it along.
Barry, I know I told you a few times on air when I interrupted. Donald Trump was not the president of the United States. He was the president of that 10 square miles called Washington, D.C. That's sovereign land, yeah, over, above, and not even part of the United States. It's sovereign land. It's private land.
Yeah.
He was the president of the corporation. He is the president of the corporation. And if Biden happens to somehow, in air quotations, steal the election, he will be president of the United States corporation. Anything they do is fraudulent. The states have the power down here. I'm sure your provinces have the power up there. It's all about this illusion. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said nothing.
Like I had a conversation with a head of the Attorney General's office, and I took him through some history. And a high level cop from Toronto kept butting in. You know, he'd go out and come back in and say, like, whatever you do, do not listen to Ron. And the guy from the Attorney General's office goes, no, I want to hear this. And when the cop came in the last time, because we were in a small courtroom, I just went to show some respect for a farmer that's been bastardized for over 20 years by the government. And he said, never caused anybody any harm. So they send these big guys up from Toronto in that, which is like 2 hours from the little courtroom. When the cop came in the last time, he said, come on, let's go outside. It's, you know, break's going to be over. And the guy looked at the cop, the Attorney General guy looked at the cop, and he said, you know what? Ron's absolutely 100% correct. Canada's nothing more than a rebranded frickin' Hudson's Bay Company, which is true. They just rebranded the corporation, just like they rebranded Roman slave law and the Roman Catholic sin fines into legal. Same game. Absolutely 100% the same game. So we the people were relegated to becoming assets of the corporation. Just like trees and coal and iron and whatever else they're digging out of the ground. And changed our names. They stole our names. They refabricated our names because you only have control over what you create, period. And they did not create man, woman, or child. They created the legal fictional person, which reverts back to Roman slave law, which makes us the slave. And we have to change this. We have to get back to law. Legal and law have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with each other. Law, which was agreed to by another guy, another lawyer from the Attorney General's office that I was talking to. And, you know, I said, can we agree on what law is? I said, I don't think it'll take more than a minute. And I just said, law, my understanding of law is do no harm. And if you do harm, you're obligated to undo the harm or compensate for the harm. And he said, that's absolutely correct. Well, let's go over to the legal system. What's the legal system do? It causes harm. Okay? It was set up to cause harm. It was set up to feed off the people. And here in Ontario, we have 300,000 plus rules, regulations, and statutes. And I said, can you give me one that didn't cause harm by taking our rights away from us or forcing us to pay money for something we shouldn't have to pay for? And he thought for a long time, and this was really comical because he thought for quite a while, and then he comes up, he says, I got one. You got one out of 300,000 plus. Not a good answer.
America has 460,000.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. And so if you're breathing, you're probably breaking the law. Not the law, the legal.
Yes.
And but the point is that what the governments are doing to us, the people, is they're causing harm to us. And it's against the law to cause harm. And, you know, I think I said this before, but like when I got that ticket, that $880 ticket for not social distancing, and then I phoned up the staff sergeant and I said, do you understand law? And I explained it to him. And I said, I caused no one any harm. The harm was caused to me. Okay. By the ticket. And therefore, you have an obligation to undo the harm that was done to me. And we had a few conversations, and then he called me back, and he says, I understand exactly what you're saying. I threw it in the garbage can. Right? That's the difference between law and legal. Legal is adversarial. Law is not. Law is two reasonable men sit down, discuss it, and come to a conclusion.
Yes.
Legal is adversarial.
Barry, have you ever seen the movie Braveheart?
Of course. No.
Have you? Okay. Well, Ron,
great movie.
Yeah. I'll explain a little part in here, Ron. You'll understand where I'm going. There's a part in that movie where this young couple are getting married, young man and young woman, and the day of the wedding, a bunch of the, I guess you could only call them local municipalities, local leaders, they come in, the head guy walks up to the bride and the groom, and he tells the groom-to-be that it is his right to have his future wife before he does. What he does is he takes her off into the somebody's home or whatever and has his way with this young woman. So, later on in the movie, Braveheart and a bunch of other men and this young man that was marrying the woman go to the municipalities and take over the village leadership or whatever. I don't even know what the term was it for, but in the movie, but the guy that raped the young man's woman said, "Why are you doing this? This was my given right by the king. I had the authority to do that." And a lot of these, most of these people actually do believe that they have that authority to do whatever they want to.
Right. And what you just explained was exactly what happened in Mexico in 2013. In an indigenous town of 20,000 people, their resources were being taken by international companies, and the people didn't like that, and they went to their councils and they talked to them, and nobody's doing anything about it because these people are all involved in it. And some of the people went out to the bush and that to try to stop the clear cutting and whatnot, and they disappeared. And it was actually the women, I guess, who had lost their husbands in that, who decided they had to do something. And eventually they talked the guys into understanding their duty. And they just simply went into the town hall and ran everybody out of town. The council, the administration, you're out of here. And they also ran the police out. and now they have their community, and they're not having any problems whatsoever. And apparently two or three other communities since 2013 have done the same thing in Mexico. These people do not have the authority to harm you. And people need to wise up to that. People think that because these people are so-called authority that you have to bow down to them and do whatever the hell they tell you to do.
Right.
But that's what you were taught from kindergarten to grade 12, just when you were starting to become an adult, that you don't question or challenge authority. And that's driven into the head so deeply that by the time you get out of school, any idiot can come up to you with a piece of paper and says, you know, you can't do that because it says this on a piece of paper. Huh? Take a hike.
And a flashy badge, too.
Yeah. And then say people say, well, you know, I'm not happy about what I have to do, but I don't want to get in trouble. That sounds like little children, not men and women. Mm. And we have to raise ourselves back up to the position of being men and women, not little children. And we have the power. We have the population, and therefore we have the power. We just have to make the decision that we are going to save our nation for our people and those who come after us. It's really that simple. It's just a decision that has to be made.
I'll tell you another story, Barry. Go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, there was about 7 or 8 years, probably about 8 years ago, there's a sheriff 30 miles from me, and he's kind of retired now, but he was a sheriff of a town about 30 miles from me. There was a big Amish, and there still is a big Amish in my area. I think it was the FDA was coming into this Amish farmer and harassing him about producing raw milk, you know, unpasteurized, unhomogenized, right, natural raw milk. And this Amish man, he knew what his rights were. He went to the sheriff, and he pretty much compelled him to do his job. The sheriff went the next time the feds came in. He said, if you ever come in here again and keep harassing this farmer here, I will arrest you. And they haven't been back since.
No, see, that's a man. Do you see what I was talking about? The farmer that I went to the court for to just show support for, that he's a raw milk farmer. In the 20 years he was selling raw milk, no one got sick. No one was harmed. And the people who were buying the raw milk felt that that milk was better for them than the pasteurized milk. And that's their decision. You can't tell me what I can and cannot eat. Well, yeah, because we legislated it. Shove off. Okay? And the first time he went to court in 2010, and they raided his house with, you know, rifles and all this kind of crap, and we went to court in 2010, the judge seemed to understand what law is, because no one was ever harmed, no one would ever got sick, and the people wanted the product. And the judge threw all the charges out. And within a week or two, the government said, I found a letter from the government saying, we got to go get him, right? Which is exactly what you just mentioned about the Amish guy, where the feds coming in and saying, you can't do this. But the sheriff actually understood and acted like a man.
Yes, he did.
And that's what we need to do, act like men, not children.
It was 2 weeks ago I had Ron on. Another one of the people in the People's Internet joined us for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. Actually, it was the whole show because I couldn't get Ron. He was unavailable for whatever reason for the first 10 minutes of the show. Darby came in and he was filling in, and then Ron came in. We got to talk, and Darby has had so many cases thrown out of his local court over there in Ireland. The judge finally, when he sees him walk in, says, "Get that man out of my court." You remember that, Ron?
Yeah, because he's a man, right? He's not. He's not acting as a legal fictional person. He's acting as a man, and that messes the court up big time. I was in court one time for a ticket or something, and a guy says, "Are you Ron Stevens?" I said, "Yeah, but who else are you looking for?" And he goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Use plural. So who else are you looking for?" And he didn't get that. And so they moved on, and the Crown was being really quiet, standing at his podium. So they carried on, and the clerk said, "You were charged on or about," and I'm laughing at that because I'm thinking, "Don't you know when?" I said, "Who was charged, me or the title?" Because they can't charge you, just like they can't charge the slave in Rome. Okay, they charge the slave owner
for a crime.
And that's the fictional person. So the Crown got all freaked out and started yipping at the judge. And the judge finally said, "What's your problem?" And the Crown goes, "We don't seem to have any evidence." And the judge was out the door so fast it'd make your head spin.
For a crime to have been committed, there has to be a victim. The state cannot be a victim.
No.
The corporation cannot be a victim.
No.
The government cannot be a victim.
No. If you haven't caused harm, then there's no ticket. I'm going to give you a ticket for going 5 miles over the speed limit. Well, did I cause anybody any harm? Well, no, but these are the rules. That's your legal crap. Was any harm caused to anybody? No. Well, if you give me the ticket, you're causing me harm. Simple as that. And you don't have the right to cause me harm. And people got to understand law. Law is a very, very powerful animal versus the legal system. The legal system is just a total deception. And we do not need to bow down to that because we are men and women. We are not legal fictional persons. We are men and women. And if we haven't caused harm, then have a nice day. But the government do not have the right to cause us harm. No way, right?
That was a time.
It was a government. Tough luck.
That was a time in Irish history. If a man and a woman or a man and a man could not work out their own issues, they had to go to what was called a brehon and have that issue worked out. And that's probably where a lot of the legal and lawful distinctions come from. I'm not positive, but...
Well, it goes back to tort law, and tort law is referred to as reasonable man. Any two reasonable men can sit down and come to a conclusion. The tort, if the judge wasn't there to make a decision, the judge was just there to, keep things working right. But the whole idea was to come to an agreement, right? In legal, if I go and bust your window, I go to court, the court takes the money, you still got a busted window. Okay? In law, if I bust your window, I'm obligated to fix your window or pay for someone to come fix your window. The legal system is about feeding off of the people and putting the boot on them and fearing them. Which is the exact opposite to law. The TD Bank come after the cottage and asked the banker, "Why didn't you call me?" Well, it's out of my hands now. And that was so adversarial, it was nuts. And then when I started looking at tort law, what they were doing was completely unreasonable. We could have fixed this easy. And it took 3 months, but in the end, the bank's lawyers backed down because they understood I was speaking to them in law as a reasonable man. I wasn't being adversarial with them. We were coming to a conclusion. And they ended up backing out. So we have the power. We absolutely 100% have the power. We are the power. We built everything in our nation. It's our nation. It doesn't belong to a bunch of idiot politicians, you know. And so we're going to fix this one way or the other. And I don't think we need to get violent to do it. I do believe that we have the, you know, we have the capacity to do this, and the young people are really waking up now. They don't want, they understand there's something terribly wrong going on, and we have an obligation to them, and we have to fulfill that obligation. Why would we allow our nation to be sold off? Why would we allow all of our manufacturing? In the old days, we manufactured everything we needed. And our people were proud of what they built, and they built it to last for a very, very long time. Now we're getting the stuff out of China, and we have these people telling us, you know, oh, we got to worry about the environment. Well, then why can't you build, we could build a fridge that lasted 30 years, how come you can only build a fridge that lasts 7 years? Well, because we're making a lot of money on it.
Well, why are you buying products from China, who's the biggest polluter in the world, if you're worried about the environment?
Exactly. But they moved all of our stuff over there because the labor's cheap. It's all about the money. It's all about the power.
It's always been about the money and power, yeah.
Well, they sure have made a mess of our manufacturing base in North America, but like you said, that's all part of the plan.
It's all part, it's all by design.
To stabilize and destroy our economy, and it's getting closer and closer to being a reality right now, Ron. And, you know, we talk about power at the municipal levels. Well, I agree 100%, but the problem is to get the general public to embrace this, because, unfortunately, the sheeple are still asleep. Anybody that's putting on a mask isn't looking at anything that's going on around them but listen to the government dialect. And until we can reach those people, unfortunately, there's a lot of them out there, then we're really up against the wall. What you're talking about, you know, de facto governments, I understand all that. But to get the general population to embrace that when they've been indoctrinated to think a certain way all their life is a really, really tough challenge we have.
Talking to them face to face.
You got to figure out. Barry,
because they don't want to listen. Well, a lot of people just don't want to listen, Ron. They've been waging this war against us.
The United Nations has been in power for 75 years. This war has been going on for those 75 years. Mm-hmm. And it's all been a mind manipulation. So, you know, had we been at this 50 years ago, we wouldn't be in this position. If we were at this 20 years ago, we wouldn't be in this position. But we are now, enough people are now starting to wake up and ask questions. And if you don't ask questions, you don't know anything. And people are now starting to scratch their head and go, what the hell's going on? Which is a huge step forward.
It is.
Now, it's not going to take us 75 years because they did this incrementally. Our main job, just like you said, you had that chat with a 15-year-old in the coffee shop. That's our job. Our job is to get the knowledge into the heads of the people who live in our communities. Once those people understand the threat to their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, those people are not going to sit back and watch TV anymore. They're going to step forward because they know they have an obligation to their children. And like I said, the children are starting to wake up and they're talking to their parents. So we have the power, and you know, people say, well, it's too late now. I hear this constantly from people. Well, it's too late now. We can't get a hold of our communities. Yeah, we can. Okay, our job is to educate the people in our communities so that they understand. Once they understand, it's no different than what happened in Mexico. Once the people understood what the hell was going on, it was over. Just that quick.
Well, and, I wasn't trying to sound negative. I wasn't trying to sound negative because I am seeing people wake up in my community. I am. It just doesn't seem like it's happening fast enough. It really doesn't. Well, there's so many people complacent still, and
you have to always look on the positive side, right? When I went to talk to these young kids, I thought, I'm 66, they're not gonna want to listen to what I got to say, and I was absolutely astounded. And now when they see me, they're giving me a thumbs up all the time, and I just, you know, talk to them a few times. And the gentleman I talked to this morning, when I was getting a coffee, he got it. You know, when I see people coming into the store with their face masks on, it really irritates the hell out of me.
Barry,
I don't worry about those people.
I've had three people.
We don't need the entirety of the people. Once a certain percentage of the people understand what the hell's going on, those who are wearing the masks are the sheep.
I've had three people this year, Barry, tell me, and different words, of course, but they virtually said, I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not, but you're making me think.
Bingo. Bingo, right there.
Well, we are making people think, and yeah, maybe I'm expecting too many people to wake up at a faster rate, because what's happening is so in our face that even a dumb person could realize that there's some very evil things going on by simple research. And that's what I was stating, is simply that even with this information and this change in our society and everything that's going on, there's a great percentage of the population that just don't want to see the truth. Maybe I shouldn't worry about those people. Focus on the ones that are listening. But
Barry, let me just jump in here for a quick second.
Okay.
People that I talked to 10 years ago, my age, didn't want to know anything. Okay? And now those same people are coming up to me wanting to know what the hell's going on. Right? So the mindset is changing. And people are concerned about what's going on. Like, they turn on the TV and they see people living in tents. What the hell? We're the richest countries in the world. Why are people living in tents?
By the way, Barry, your previous guest said that too, if you remember.
What's that?
What Ron just said.
Okay, well, I agree with what Ron just said. We are the richest country in the world.
No. People 10 years ago told your previous guest that he was a nut job, and now they're coming to him and saying, wow.
Well, I'm having that happen in my life all the time now, too.
Yeah.
Maybe my expectations are a little bit higher. Maybe I just can't understand why the general population as a whole, I mean, there's lots of people that are waking up.
It's
fear. We see the movements coming across the Canada. We see lots of people getting involved in radio now.
We have to bring them together. We're going to have to start having local meetings and that. But you know, your frustration, Barry, understand my frustration. I first told people this was coming when I was 17 years old. I'm 66.
Okay. Maybe it is just frustration, gentlemen.
I was terribly frustrated when I was in my late teens and early 20s, because everybody I talked to, they didn't want to know anything. They didn't want to see anything. Well, Canada's the greatest country in the world. And you try to explain, they just shut down on you.
Do you remember what I told you last week, Barry?
So I'm pretty happy about this COVID thing, because the COVID thing is both their trigger and our trigger. Okay? We both got our hand on the trigger.
Do you remember what I told you last week, Barry?
We have more people than they, so we have more triggers than they do, and we're going to win this.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve. Say something, then I'll shut the show up for the week. We're down.
One thing I told you last week, that was allegedly, I think, 147 million people that voted here in America. They absolutely love that. If you remember me telling you that last week, they got the biggest thrill ever. That allegedly 147 million people voted. You know what? 4 years from now, they want to see 200 million people voting, because that would mean to them that they are even more effective than what we can dream of. The more people that vote every single year, the more they win. Am I right there, Ron?
It's about knowledge, and people are gaining knowledge finally. And once they have the knowledge, we take over the political. And we now have good, honest men and women who care about the people, looking out for the people and the benefit of our nations, not these idiots that are there today and have been there forever. So we're on the right road. We just got to stay on the right road and become extremely determined, roll up our sleeves, and we all got to get to work. And we'll get it done.
Yeah, if there were ever a time, I guess, for men to stand up, this would be that time, wouldn't it, gentlemen? Because I don't think, you know, I agree with you, Ron, that, you know, I have to stay positive thinking we're going to win this, but we got to get at it real quick because they are really, really ramping up the agenda. And it's going to get to a point here in the near future where we might not be able to have these conversations, that we might not have the opportunity to share information with people.
Barry,
I believe that time's coming soon.
I am sorry, Barry. I know you're going to end there, but I probably told that to you in a wrong way, and you took it wrong, and I am sorry.
Well, listen, I got a little fissy there. I'm sorry. I apologize, because I usually I'm open to criticism, but I just kind of took that the wrong way, so I apologize, guys. It was my best show. But anyways, Ron, do you want to say
something before I let you go? We're all friends, and we're all good people, and yeah, we disagree on this and that and a few other things, but it's the big picture that's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Okay, Ron, where can people find you?
Where can they find me?
Yeah, outside of Kincardine, Ontario. Where are you on social media? Because I got to shut the show. Here
well,
we go.
I have a blog called CanadianTruths.wordpress.com, and my Facebook, Ron Stephens, STEPHENS. I'm getting a lot more followers now, which is good. I'm getting past this. I'm getting some really solid people in now that are not playing this left-right nonsense, who are understanding the game and our duty. So that's good. I try just to put stuff up that will help people understand what's actually going on in the background. And not worrying about reaction to this, that, and the other thing. Get people solid. But no, this is the best. This is the most interesting time to be alive. And in the end, we win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's just our determination. And no different than what Stephen said about Braveheart when they just said enough.
Well, we're going to win, Ron, or I'm going to die trying. One of the two. There is no in between.
Well,
once we know, once we know what we know, we can't stop.
Once we gather up the youth, once we gather up the youth, and they are really, really wanting to know what the hell's going on. Once we got the youth on side, the youth will get the parents on side, and it's over.
Yeah, so, and what we talked about earlier yesterday on what we should do with the youth there, Ron, we got to go ahead and do that. Yep. So I'm going to let you go because the show's over for the week.
Okay.
I want to thank Steve for producing
show. You guys take care and have a wonderful evening.
Well, thanks for joining me, Ron. Always a pleasure.
Well, I appreciate it.
We'll have another conversation in the very, very near future.
Okay. You guys have a great evening.
Okay. Well, thanks, folks, for tuning in today. A bit of a glitch in the show today, but we're all human. So I apologize if my humanity showed through for a second, probably just a stupid glitch in my brain. And all of that being said, I will be back next week. I got Mr. Alex Newman coming in next week. I always look forward to talking to him. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to what we had to say. Thanks to Steve for producing me and Shake and Wake and People's Internet Radio for providing the platforms. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. See you then. God bless you all. Have a great week. Bye for now.